Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, we are finally ready for key number three. If you've been following the Beacon Broadcast the last few days, you know that we have been taking a rather extensive look at a verse of Scripture in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, and talking about three keys to effective Christian witness. Now, here's the text. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Three keys to effective witness. Number one, have courage. Number two, maintain preparation, develop preparation. And number three, utilize Christian courtesy. So three keys, if you want to boil them down to one-word answers. Three keys. Number one, courage. Number two, preparation. Number three, courtesy. And we spent the bulk of our time talking about preparation. How do we prepare ourselves? What do we prepare ourselves with? What does this preparation look like? What is it that we are to be ready to do? And all of that is found in the text. I don't have time to go back to it again, but it tells us that we are to be able to explain the gospel. We are to be able to answer people with words, with logic, with reasoning, with explanation. This is not primarily an emotional appeal, but it is a didactic appeal, a teaching appeal. We are to be prepared to teach people the gospel, the Word of God. But there's a certain way that we need to do it. And that brings us to the third thing, which is courtesy, Christian courtesy. We are to do all this with meekness and fear. And so that's what we're going to talk about on this Thursday, January 30, as we have been helped financially by our radio listeners to maintain this Bible teaching ministry on this station. Courtesy, with meekness and fear. In other words, with a Christ-like approach, a Christ-like demeanor, if I can use that word. Meekness and fear, which is a fairly frequent emphasis by the Apostle Peter. You'll find him coming back to this several times in his epistles. Sometimes it is one, sometimes it is the other, sometimes they're both combined together, as they are here. But these qualities of meekness and fear, which are important qualities for godly Christians to be effective in their service for Jesus Christ. And think about what you know about the Apostle Peter and his demeanor when Christ was alive and Peter and the other 11 apostles were following Christ upon the earth. And is meekness and fear what you would think of first of all when you think about the way Peter behaved? No, we would have to say Peter seemed to be anything but meek. And didn't seem to be much afraid, except, well, there were times when he was, but not the right kind of fear. He cowered at the little servant girl in the courthouse of the high priest, the courtyard of the high priest. He became afraid when he was walking on the water. I think we can all relate to that. But most of the time, Peter seemed to be one of these guys who just didn't have much fear. He was seen to be more courageous than the average Christian, more bold than the average disciple. Meekness and fear is not what would have characterized Peter, as I read about him in the Gospels, but here he is telling us these are the qualities that we should have to be an effective witness. Always ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. The required attitude or required attitudes. Peter apparently had grown. Peter had learned something. Peter that we read about here, that we read the epistles that he wrote, inspired by the Holy Spirit of God, is not the same Peter that we read about in the Gospels. Aren't you glad that we do grow in grace and knowledge? Peter did. We will. We can. I'm glad to know that. I can grow. I can change. The things that I see in my life that I know are weaknesses and are not what they ought to be are not unchangeable. Now, apart from Christ, most of these things don't change much, really. Most people have a reason for believing that when a person, once a criminal, always a criminal. Once a thief, always a thief. Once a sex offender, always a sex offender. Once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic. That's the way the world looks at it, because that, frankly, is what we learn by experience and observation. There's a whole program to help people who are addicted to alcohol or drugs and similar things, based upon the idea that you've got to recognize that this is who you are and you'll never be anything different. So you will always be an alcoholic. If you have become an alcoholic, you will always be an alcoholic. The thing to do is to become a sober alcoholic. The only way you'll ever be a sober alcoholic is to never touch alcohol again. And so you've got to think of yourself as an alcoholic, but as a recovering alcoholic. And that's the only way you'll succeed. And there's a whole program built upon that. Now, I understand that, and I'm not really fussing at the program. I know that the program has helped a lot of people from a human standpoint, but it's not the Christian viewpoint. Because the Bible tells us that God is able to change people. And those who are saved by the grace of God and are being sanctified by the Spirit of God don't need to think of themselves as being whatever it is, an alcoholic or whatever, and that you'll always be that until you get to heaven. You can think of yourself as a former alcoholic, a former thief, a former adulterer. That's what I was, but that's not what I am. We can grow and change, which doesn't mean that we get to a place where we will never be tempted and it's impossible for us to ever stumble or fall again. But the idea that once we go down a certain path, that's unchangeable. We've got to just learn to deal and cope with the reality of that's who we are, because there's no basic and essential change that is possible. Yes, there is for a true child of God. That's probably a correct assessment for those who are never born again. That probably is a pretty correct assessment. You probably have no realistic hope for basic change. It's not going to happen, because it can only happen by the Spirit of God working in your heart. And apart from that, no. You won't change. You can't change. But with that, yes, you can change. You do change, and you can change. And here's Peter, the bold, bumbling, stumbling, anything but meek apostle, who's now learning to be meek. We do this with meekness and fear. Meekness means quietness, humility, gentleness. That doesn't sound like the old Peter, does it? It's the opposite of overbearing, intrusive, domineering. That sounds like the old Peter, right? The old Peter would have been overbearing, intrusive, domineering, forcing his way in where he wasn't necessarily invited. But the Christian way is quietness, humility, gentleness. Now, we're talking about keys to effective witnessing. There are people who basically capitalize on an approach of witnessing, which is more characterized by being overbearing, intrusive, and domineering. That's the key to success. You buttonhole people, and you just basically steamroll over them. But Peter, in 1 Peter 3:15, says no. That's not the way to do it. Which is another way of saying the Spirit of God, inspiring Peter, the apostle, and the sacred writer of Scripture, tells us in Peter's first epistle that's not the way to do it. We are to answer those who ask you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. And the meekness means a basic quietness and humility and gentleness, because we are trusting God for the results. We're not depending upon ourselves. We are not depending upon a technique that our personality, our boldness, our domineeringness is going to overcome their reluctance and bring about the result that we want. That's what's behind some of these evangelistic techniques, and it's not godly. It's not. That's why I have emphasized, as we've been talking about this verse, the need to be prepared and alert, looking for doors that the Holy Spirit opens. And there's some people who close their eyes. They never see an opportunity because they're not looking. And that's not good. They're hoping that they won't have an opportunity, so that they won't have to do anything, so that they won't be responsible. No, that's not the way to do it. You need to ask God to get you over that, if that's you. But there are other people who are going to force opportunities whether they present themselves or not. That's not the God-honoring way. We are to look for opportunities as God brings them. We are to enter doors when God opens them. We are to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that lies within you. That's not the buttonhole strangers on the street approach and march them down the Romans road by force of personality and power and boldness and domineering spirit and overbearingness and intrusiveness into their lives. It's not that at all. We're to do this with meekness. That's quietness, humility, gentleness. That's the Spirit of Christ. He was meek and mild and gentle. And that's the way his servants are supposed to be. And then there's also fear, which really means reverence or respect. Respecting the people that you're talking to. No put downs, no disrespectful speech, but rather respecting them and talking to them in a quiet way. And again, looking for God to use that in their lives. If he does, move forward. If he doesn't, move on. It's as simple as that. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.